The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. This is Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say, and particularly today because we're open line through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, it seems that the Clipps Reservoir in Onchan is empty by now. They're replacing underwater hydraulic valves, one of which was found to be faulty during routine maintenance work in the summer. The water has been transferred at a control rate to Kerridoo Reservoir. What we don't know is what happened to all the fish inside the Clipps Reservoir. Do you fish, or do you know somebody who fished in the Clipps Reservoir? What happened to all the fish? Were they scooped out or just left there? Or were they sluiced out with the water into Kerridoo? It would be nice to know. It's just that I've had a couple of concerned dog walkers who've seen what they consider to be rather unsavoury sights there. But if you could, anybody knows for a fact what's happened to the fish from the Clipps Reservoir, then please tell us all about it. We'd really like to know. Mark's on now. Hi, Mark.
All right, Andy fella, how you doing?
Well, it's a lovely day today, isn't it?
It's not bad at all, mate. But look, I don't know anything about fishing or anything like that. I don't eat fish, so I can't comment on fish. But I'll tell you what, I can make a little aside. I was pootling along the road today in Williston. You know where the new flats opposite the shop?
Yeah.
Right, well, I was doing 20 mile an hour along there in my non-electric car, and I happened to notice that one of the blocks of flats was called James Brown House. So I was just thinking, you know, laterally as you do when you're bored, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if you push the buzzer to get in whether or not it goes, ow, I feel good. Now, let's be honest, only you and I would understand that.
Well, and I love the fact, I mean, that's a great story, but I love the fact that we used to actually have a chief minister called James Brown. Did you know that?
I did not know that. How long ago was that?
James Anthony Brown, Tony Brown.
Oh, God, I bet he got some abuse about James Brown, godfather of soul.
Well, him being Mr. Disco at one time.
I'm so just thinking, what are they going to...
James Brown House at Williston, I wonder what that's in aid of.
I don't know. It can't be Tony Brown, surely. I mean, I can't think of a James Brown, apart from, like you just said there, the godfather of soul. And I can imagine there's a load of people now scratching their head going, what the hell are these two talking about? Who's James Brown? Because let's be honest, there's a lot of people now, that, especially Gen Z, who have no idea what you and I are talking about.
Well, he's in the Blues Brothers, isn't he?
If it's not Taylor Swift or, what's her name, Lizzo or something like that, or Coldplay, people tend to forget that there was a generation of music before all this came along. And to some people, like you and I, it was a lot better. You could sing to it, you could dance to it, and there was very few swear words that you had to worry about when you put it on the radio.
James Brown House in Williston.
Brown House. So there you go. Maybe they're going to call another one of the houses Marvin Gaye House.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be fantastic.
That would be brilliant, mate. So I'll let you go now, and hopefully somebody will ring up and say that they know about fish.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Mark.
All right, mate. Have a good one.
You too. 12:10 it is. If you're around Williston, by the way, just take a snap of that James Brown House in Williston. It would be fantastic to know. Here's Betty with us now. Hello, Betty.
Oh, hi, Andy. I'm just bringing up to ask whether you know that the government lines are down. The lines for the hospital at Nobles and at the cottage, and I don't know whether other lines are down as well.
Really?
Yes.
How long have you been calling?
Well, I phoned for 3 minutes and nothing answered. Then I tried another 3 minutes and nothing answered. And then I tried the cottage and they put me through, but then nothing answered. So then I phoned Manx Telecom and they said the lines are down.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for... And when was the first time you called this morning?
About 10:15.
Right. Okay.
Well, but they were still down at 11 o'clock.
Well, if anybody can give us any update information on this...
I thought people who might want to be in touch with something serious...
Well, crikey,
might,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, I would imagine as well, if we can't get in, can they get out? Can they telephone out, I wonder?
I don't know.
Right. Well, we'll put that out then, Betty. Thanks for reporting that. If anybody's got an update on the lines, then by all means do get in touch with us. Betty, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And David's with us. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. The only thing I know about fish is when they're battered on a Friday.
Okay, yes.
And a good fish and chips at Duncan. Anyway, I won't tell you which one. But can I just speak on... when I was talking yesterday, I probably confused a number of people. I listened to Norman on there. And Norman, if you're listening, I wasn't criticising the staff. What I was criticising there was the politicians, and especially the minister of the department for the DOI, because of the antics they're up to. And I believe they're not being open and honest with local authorities. And that's why we're going to be meeting next week and find out with the MLCs what's actually going on.
Yeah.
But he did mention, and I know the report that Phil Gawn did, because I was in at the time, and in that report, or that agreement between local authorities for those that have signed up to do certain elements within their local authority areas, in the back of the clauses, it does say, in the last couple of pages, it says that every year the department should engage with the local authority to review the situation. Now, that to me, that is the local authority has never had a conversation, or the DOI has never been in touch with the local authorities. As far as I'm concerned, it's been a member for Onken anyway. And I've not seen any paperwork coming through to ask us, are you happy with what you do? Is there anything we can help you with? Because I think the agreement has failed because the DOI are not doing their commitment to us. We don't carry gully suckers. We don't carry big machinery. And no local authority would actually do that. And that's why the DOI are responsible for the main ulterior routes. And it happens with... we've got a street sweeper, which on could run anyway and fund as the ratepayers. But it's not that big, and it's not that small, so it doesn't go down through little tiny lanes, which Cackens Lane is full of leaves at the minute and causing some issues. And, we've got to be protecting people to walk around, because some of the buses don't go up to certain parts of Onken and they can't get it. So they walk down the lanes, and they've got to be really careful. So I was just going to put that out there,
yeah.
Andy, and I'm sorry to whinge all the time, but I wanted to put there, it wasn't to go at the staff.
Well,
the
staff, I think that's the one thing. I think we take it as read that the boys on the ground and the girls on the ground do what they're told to do. These actions come from higher up, and I'm getting all sorts of reports of from local authorities about the fact that what we were talking about yesterday, you say we pay, that the government seems to want to tell local authorities what to do, so it gets paid out of rates, because bluntly the government may have run out of money for this, so the government hasn't got the money to do stuff, so they tell local authorities to do it, and local authorities will then have to get it from the rates, so they'll get it in the neck from the constituents.
Because it's never going to go down, is it? I've never seen it yet go down. It's always going to go up. But what we have to do is, when you're a local authority, is justify what you're doing in the area. Is the playgrounds that we have, the Onken Park, is going to need some money spent on it in the future. And there's some other things that we need to do at a local level. And the national stuff should be done by the departments and the government sections. I was listening to them this morning there, and the confusion is from some of the politicians regarding the Peel and area plan for the north. is massive. It's worth a listen, but after the radio, after your programme, okay?
All right, we appreciate that. David, thanks for calling today.
Later up.
All right, good to hear from you. Everybody's telling me now who James Brown is. Not the soul legend, and not James Anthony Brown, Tony Brown, our former Chief Minister, King of Castletown, Castletown MHK, and now the leader of the commissioners there. James Brown was a printer, publisher and political reformer, born in Liverpool in 1815, moved to Douglas in the 1840s. He founded the Isle of Man Times and became famous for challenging the old unelected House of Keys, got all sorts of into all sorts of problems. They summoned him to the Keys, to the court, and he got jailed. He was actually jailed in Castle Russian Jail for his criticism of the unelected House of Keys. He got 200 visitors and a wide range of gifts while he was in jail. I think he got after 7 weeks of imprisonment. He stayed in prison and he got food and drink from local businesses and sued the House of Keys for wrongful imprisonment and won, and then got £518. Nowadays, it's about 60-odd thousand pounds. 3 years after he was in prison, James Brown became a Democrat. The Keys became a democratically elected body. And A.W. Moore said in Manxworthy's that James Brown was usually associated with the reform of the House of Keys. So there we are. That's all I know, and that's what we know about James Brown House in Willesden is after James Brown. James Brown, born in Liverpool, died on the 3rd of December 1881 in Douglas, and he's buried in Kirkbrennan Cemetery. Have a look today and say thank you. So has anybody found out what's happened to the fish in the Clipps Reservoir? Anybody know? If you can tell me, then by all means do. Manx Utilities said that the Keridu Reservoir in Oncombe will be able to accommodate all the water drained from the Clipps. It's rained a lot recently. It's maybe going down the spillways now. Manx Utilities worked with DEFA's Inland Fisheries Officer, apparently, to ensure the safe transfer of remaining fish stocks within the Clipps to Keridu. Is this true? As it happened, it would be nice to know that everything happened and all the fish were transferred across and none were left there struggling for water. The work to replace the faulty valve is being carried out by a specialist company. They put it in more than 20 years ago. £50,000 for a new valve in there. And Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Very well. Well, better off than some of those fish, apparently.
Well, there you go. There you go. I believe there's been a pullout tonight for the... Is it 1984 on tonight at the Gaiety Theatre, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, crikey.
I think they've had a pullout. Would you stand in and do Big Brother? Because they've had a pullout. One of the Comin ministers has pulled out. It's a Comin production, you know.
Is it really?
It's sponsored by Whitehall. So you might be able to stand in and do that, Andy. You can do Big Brother, can't you?
Well, not as talented as Comin.
No, let's not go down that one. Just listening to a couple of things in the last week there. One thing I picked up on there yesterday was that it was put out by Energy and Manx Radio. Training giving for whistleblowers. I thought, well, that's a nice little bit of 1984 connection, isn't it? Why do you need to be training to whistleblow? You've either got something to say or you've not, haven't you? What's all that about, training for whistleblowers? And the Manx.net, you brought that up. I'm just thinking back, Andy, to, I'm going back to the 80s. I think you were here in the 80s, weren't you, on the island? And it was during the Mike Prophet fiasco when the interconnector was put in. Was I led to believe, my memory says then, that there was fibre optic cables already in that as well? Wasn't that sold to us?
In the interconnector?
Cables. Yeah. So
there are fibre optic cables.
But they were never used. So my memory serves me correct that this was supposed to be in the budgeting for the cost of it, that the fibre optic cable is supposed to be used for bringing other countries or other companies in from the UK to service internet into the island. But that was never functioned or used, I don't believe. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy.
Well, it's certainly not happening now, is it?
No, it's not. And I think back then, Manx Telecom put pressure on to stop any other companies coming in. So Manx Telecom have had a lot of given to them from the Isle of Man taxpayers via the Manx government over the years. And for them to charge for Manx.net now, it's a bit of a poke in the eye, isn't it, really? I mean, going back, I think... again, remind me if I'm wrong, my memory is a few years ago, but during the Jason Salas debacle in the 80s, when it was brought to light that cable and wireless were stopped getting presence on the island back then. So this goes back quite some time, doesn't it? Manx Telecom have had a little bit of a sway on the Isle of Man for some time.
Well, the fact is, I mean, this cannot be seen as a plus for subscribers. Let's just start at the beginning. When you took a Manx Telecom subscription, it always said as part of the contract, you get your Manx.net, as many Manx.net accounts as you want, absolutely free of charge, and lots of people have taken advantage of that. Now, what they're saying is, because of the way of the world and because of security and everything, it's bluntly too big a job for them to do. It's been subbed out to this company in Australia for many years who run it, and now basically they're going to get the money from the subscribers, and that's going to cover the cost of keeping it secure. How long for, we don't know, because now it's been punted out to Australia. It may say Manx.net or Isleman.com. It's been done in Australia, and I understand we live in a global world, but all we know is that, you know, there may be umpteen reasons for it. It's going to cost everybody money or a lot of hassle to get a new internet address for all the logins and all the apps and everything that those email addresses are embedded in.
And absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. People will go along with it because of the hassle that's involved in changing everything over. I mean, if we look at the sales that went on in the early days of Sky, everything was free to get everyone involved in it. And then it became so convoluted and you bought all the equipment, then the charges start coming on. And look where everyone is now with Sky charges. It's just a clever bit of marketing. But, I mean, there is other companies out there. I mean, Gmail and all that. I mean, they're free of charge for theirs. And I think even Manx Computer Bureau here have free internet.
Yeah. But, I mean, the other consideration is it just feels a bit less Manx. And I know it says Manx Telecom on the packet and they've got a big building and what have you. But, you know, and we know our data flies around the internet at a rate of knots, and it could be here, there and everywhere. But it just feels a bit less... And, you know, basically, they've told us it starts today. It starts today, sort it out by January. If not within 3 months, it'll be gone. So this is not a year. It's not a year's notice. This is a few months' notice.
Absolutely. And that's pressure on people to just obey and go. And I agree with what you said yesterday. It is a talking point. You say to people, I say to people, and when I use a Manx.net as a backup account now, but you talk to people and they go, oh, what's that? And it does. It opens up a conversation about the Isle of Man. There's nothing I like better than promoting the Isle of Man in many places that
and
I am.
The other thing, Ewan, is lots of businesses have got Manx.net or Isleman.com accounts on the side of vans and on stationery and everything else. So businesses, at a time when businesses don't need extra cost, they've suddenly got extra cost.
It's like you said there, Andy, it's just another little bit of the Isle of Man, which, I mean, it's been distanced for a while, but it's just another little bit of our uniqueness and culture that's disappearing, not albeit by name. I mean, steam packet's the same, isn't it? But yeah, it's a very, very, very clever sales tactic, I think, on that.
And what else?
David Good. Yeah, two other points. On David Quirk's piece that he was going on about the local authority bill, I agree with David. I mean, I think local authorities are important, especially where we are now in politics. I think it's important to have strong people in local council and government to push back what's happening within governments. You've got this very, very bully boy tactic at the moment, which is getting used. Obviously, they're getting information from their civil servants on this tactic that they're using. And I think to keep that in line, we do need good authorities and civil servants to keep a balance here.
Yeah.
Of what's happening. Very much that. And the transparency, this government's came in on a ticket of transparency. There doesn't seem to be much transparency going on there at the moment,
okay.
Especially within DOI and Dr. Hayward's little baby there.
Okay.
There doesn't seem to be much transparency in the windows there. It's more opaque to me.
All right.
And one for another day that I want to touch on another day. If people want to have a look at it, maybe they won't. The transport strategy for 2025 to 2035.
Oh, I saw that.
Interesting.
I saw that. Full colour. Yeah. Full colour.
Yes, some lovely photographs there. But when you delve into the chapters of it and have a look at it, it brings a little smile to the side of my face of where this government actually wants us to go. But you know, they're not going to tell us directly because it's not going to sell it to the people. But
okay,
I can just visualise you going up Douglas Head on that electric bike, Andy, alongside Alex Brindley.
Very nice.
On a stormy Force 9 with rain blowing in your face.
That'll be us. All right.
It's fit and healthy for you, but we'll discuss them points on another day because there's quite a few there I want to go through.
Thanks
Have
for calling.
Good day, Andy.
Yeah, right. Take care now, thank you also to Simon. Said, when are they going to? You mentioned this a few weeks ago. When are they going to bring the bus service back to Douglas Head? That's the reason there's a bus turning circle by the old Foggy's restaurant now. Those Swish Flats. So many people visit Douglas Head, but not everybody. A wants to take a car because of our active travel strategy, or can walk up the darn things, including those steps of death that you have to walk up from the bridge. Well, perhaps that will be it, even just two or three times a day, a bus, and particularly in the summer, and particularly at weekends. I don't know. What do you think? What was the number of the bus? Was it the 27 that used to come up to Douglas Head? Kevin's on now. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Andy. I just want to follow on from what June was saying. He just reminded me of what actually happened at that particular time with Mike Prophet. Mike Prophet was actually quite a visionary businessman. His idea was, as I recall, he was laying fiber optics along the interconnector. Now, some of the fiber optics were used, I think, for the telemetry to monitor the cable. But his vision was to bring fiber optics ashore. Now, this would be in the early 2000, I think, wasn't it? 2000, 2001. And then he would bring fiber optic into the island. And his vision was that he would bring fiber optic into everybody's homes along with the power supply. So, therefore, that you could basically bypass Manx Telecom. And I don't know whether that was an intentional business plan. But, of course, it was blocked. Now, I think it was blocked at the time because I think we had O2. I'm not sure. I think O2 was basically Manx Telecom. But I believe because there was a political interest from government within Manx Telecom, i.e. they were on the board, I think it was blocked on the grounds that it would compete unfairly with Manx Telecom.
Right.
But he was a visionary, and I can't substantiate that, of course, because it's a long time ago. But if you recall, there was the Enron scandal at the time as well. And Enron had an interest in some of the investments that were undertaken with the power station. If you recall, I think that when Enron went bust, and it had huge implications around the world, I think some of the funding had to be reorganized for the power station. Now, I don't know whether that was had implications in the loan. But I think, yeah, getting back to Manx Telecom, that was a visionary idea. And had he been able to have gone ahead with that, I think we would be in a much better position now because we would have fibre well ahead of the schedule that we're working towards with Manx Telecom.
Yeah, it just seems that, so as you say, it just seems that we've slipped behind in the race, Kevin.
Well, Mike Prophet, I mean, I don't think he's particularly well now, but he was he was a visionary character and he could see the opportunity where the island would benefit from fiber. And if we had fiber, because he was calling it, he would shoot a fiber cable along with every power supply, and it wouldn't be difficult to do. But of course, Manx, the MEA, as it was then, was an energy company, not a telecommunications company. So there was obviously some sort of conflict there, but it was blocked more by the government, I think, rather than Manx Telecom. But had he have gone ahead, had the government have grasped that opportunity at the time, and said, yes, we can get fiber in ahead of, because we're 20 years behind now. You know, we could have had this in a long time ago. But of course, now Manx Telecom are in a difficult position because they're having difficulties installing fiber because people can't afford to have a separate underground trenching works carried out to get the fiber through the ducts, if they don't have a duct, that is. Mm. There's also oppositions now to the poles they're erecting. So, it was very difficult. I think if the government had grasped the metal there, we would be in a much better position. But I think as well now, of course, with now wanting to charge for the .manx.net facility, it's a shame. But of course, it's thrown it all up in the air again. So, but yeah, June is absolutely right. That was the history behind it. And okay. I think Mike Prophet got a lot of flack for the loan scandal, so-called loan scandal. But he had a lot of vision, but unfortunately he wasn't allowed to carry that out, and he ultimately left the MEA at that time, shortly after.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for putting us in the picture today.
All right. You're welcome.
Take care now. 28 minutes before one. A note in from 462 just said, just a note regarding yesterday when you raised the lack of government ownership of Manx Telecom. I appreciate Manx Telecom are a shareholder-controlled business and not state. Alamang government have allowed them to run a monopoly, charging other suppliers like Shaw for what was post office infrastructure that they adopted at no cost. Is this something government should consider regarding vital infrastructure in light of the green energy projects? MUA able to decide what green energy they take onto the grid? So, and is that, we've been trying to find out, is it true then that Manx Telecom own all the infrastructure? What was, it was post office infrastructure, it was post office run out of Liverpool, the Liverpool telephone district originally. Then when the post office telephones got privatised in England by Mrs. Thatcher, it became British Telecom. Then we got spun off, or British Telecom formed a company called, a registered subsidiary called Manx Telecom. Then Manx Telecom became part of O2, MMO2, the mobile bit. Then that was sold in 2006 to Telefonica, the Spanish telecommunications company. They flogged it in 2010 to HG Capital, a private equity firm. And then they sold it. Well, they floated it on the AIM market, the London submarket of the stock exchange. And then Basalt got it in 2019. So we're way down the line from the good old days of British Telecom and the Liverpool phone district. But you wonder, who owns the infrastructure? Who owns all the cables? And remember, we've shovelled out upwards of £10 million to get fibre out. Where are we going to be left? What leverage does the government have regarding what is infrastructure on the Isle of Man? Were the fish wrapped up in cotton wool? We don't know. We don't know what's happened to the fish from the Clipps Reservoir. If you fished in the Clipps, can you tell me where this has gone? And a message in from John in Ramsey, or is it John Ramsey anyway? It's overdue to shut down local authorities. The Balladool Civic Community site was a prime example of bad management, lack of communication between local authorities resulting in mismanagement and the loss of services. Ramsey commissioners squabble constantly, and the beach in front of the lifeboat station is still filthy, says John. Quite what we do, then. Are you making the case for the government, then, for the government to run the local authorities?
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue. the language of man.
As the hot air balloon lifted off, Ellie's financial future rose too, secure, steady and full of possibility. Thanks to Skipton Guernsey and their fixed 4.1% AER saving rate until September the 1st, 2026, on deposits of £10,000 or more. Let your money soar with confidence. Join Ellie and secure your rate today at Skipton.
For details on Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. No withdrawals allowed until maturity. Interest paid annually and upon maturity. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Cozy feet. Now there's a treat. And with a luxurious new rug from Lifestyle Furniture, your rooms will be as happy as your toes. With thousands of designs and colours to choose from, you'll find the fabulous floor covering you've been waiting for. Bold and beautiful. Traditional and elegant. Minimal and gorgeous. The rug you love is at Lifestyle Furniture. Find us at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills. Open 7 days a week.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
EdSpace's mission is all about breaking the silence and tackling the high suicide rate on our island. We run weekly, safe, confidential peer-to-peer support groups so no one feels alone with their struggles. Check edspace.im or email info@edspace.im. We're also on Facebook as EdSpace, Ed's Man Club and Women's Talk.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Session Radio Vanin.
Gilg
Chu,
Gilg
Jay,
as Gil
Fera. Avishan Rish. A Gilg, the Manx Gaelic. Ginian Amera, the mother tongue of Alian Vanin, the Isle of Man.
Avishan Rish.
You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast, Avishan Rish. Say that again.
Avishan Rish.
Shene, that's the one. Session
Radio Vanin. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, Michael. I briefly tried 65000 for Nobles Hospital switchboard, and it works fine. They can even put your caller through to the right department. It's a free call. So, Betty, 65000 or 65000 for Nobles Hospital. And Ali said, regarding this radon map that we've suddenly got, what's the point of the survey and the map? Did the government pay for it? Radon is naturally occurring, and if you smoke, which a lot of people don't, then you may have a higher risk of lung cancer. Seems to be a scaremongering exercise, and it's pointless. I do hope we haven't paid for this, says Ali. Well, we could find out, and Andrew's with us now. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy. I was going to talk, first of all, about Manx Telecom, but great work, Andy, for coming up with all the information that you have done on today's programme about Manx Telecom and Janara. And because the initial story just said Janara, and I asked a friend, Google, and it didn't find anything. And I thought, ooh, hang on, what's that? Because that conflicts with your other story of from roofing company warns of increasing customers getting dodgy work done. And it bullet points that make sure the company is registered and has an address. And I thought, well, who's Janara? But anyway, thank you for either you or was it Manx Telecom letting you know, or I'm hoping it's you and one of your colleagues as dedicated journalists have uncovered who Janara is.
Yeah.
Anyway, that deals with that. The other item, please, was the steam packet company and its alterations to the forthcoming schedule to Liverpool, which you highlighted some time ago now. Yeah. But the steam packet did a release on the 1st of October saying, because of the ferry terminal there, to enable work to be carried out, sailings to and from Liverpool on November the 1st and 2nd will now operate to Heysham. Okay, and your story says the issue affects both Maxman and Ben McCree at low tides. Mananan is not affected. So the Isle of Man Steam has confirmed its schedule alterations in light of the work. Well, this is a bit, how should we say, disingenuous is the word, I think, maybe from the Steam Packet Company and Managing Director, Mr. Brian Thompson, because I spoke yesterday with the Director of Harbours, who confirmed to me that the only reason the Manxmen can't get in on the 1st and 2nd is because of the low tide. It's not because work is being carried out. Work is only going to be carried out week commencing on the Monday, the 3rd. So it begs the question, if Monaghan is not affected, why is Monaghan not doing that route on the 1st and 2nd, which is the end of half-term week?
Mm.
So perhaps Mr. Brian Thompson, if he's listening, can come on and tell all the foot passengers why they're having to be inconvenienced with an extra travel time from Heysham to Liverpool and Liverpool back to Heysham when the Monaghan could feasibly go in. So over to you, Mr. Thompson, on that. Mm. And my last item, please, Andy, was a little bit, I don't know, is it tongue-in-cheekness? No, I don't know. You've been running a story about a report from the UK that says, I haven't got it in front of me, but I'm from doing this from memory, older ladies can avoid premature death by doing 4,000 steps a day. Is that more or less what it says?
I'm not familiar with that, but go on.
It was on this morning. It was on this morning. Older ladies can avoid premature death by doing 4,000 steps a day.
Wow.
So the question is, over to you ladies that are listening in, what is an older lady?
Oh,
when do
crikey.
You become an older lady?
Oh.
And if you're 80, are you going to avoid premature death, do you think, by doing 4,000 steps a day?
Oh.
So come on, ladies, let us know an older lady is.
You set the cat amongst the pigeons there. What is an older lady?
Well, no. Sorry, Andy, it's your story.
Yeah.
It's the Manx Radio story.
What do you think's an older lady? What do you think's an older lady?
I would think somebody at least 80.
Oh, right, okay, right.
But, I mean, if somebody in their early 80s is going to start doing 4,000 steps a day, are they going to avoid premature death?
Crikey, 4,000?
Come on, ladies, let's know. Let us know.
All right. Thanks.
Cheers,
for that. Thank, good to
it.
Hear from you. Thanks for that now. Oh, and Robert's with us now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? I was just thinking about this email service, which has gone on to the subs, you know, the subscriptions and things like that. I was thinking back to myself, well, is anything free on the internet now? I know, you know, your joie de vivre is nothing is free. So I think you've come across, you know, you've done well there, because I don't think anything is free now on the internet. They all want us to subscribe to various services. If it's got the term service in it, then, you know, you'll be paying for it effectively, won't you?
I'm trying to think. Are any email addresses free nowadays? Is a Gmail address
free?
Well,
there's Outlook and Gmail, but, I mean, you know, you'll be... I mean, they're the basic two, Outmail, Gmail, and Hotmail. But, I mean, not if you can get Hotmail. But, I mean, in terms of services itself, you've got Netflix, you've got Spotify, you've got all of the media services, like Paramount and stuff like that on your TV, you know, for entertainment and stuff. I'm not saying that it should be free, but, I mean, there used to be, back in the day, in... the noughties on the likes of Linux and things like that, you could download Tor and you could get free movies, and no one's ever been prosecuted for downloading films, have they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some of the companies that were involved in that did get jail terms. Some of the, what was it called, Pirate Bay and stuff like that that were involved in it. A lot of those people
Away from Keyboard was the film. But yeah, I think that was because they run the website. But in terms of like actual people on the Isle of Man using a service similar to that, there's no prosecutions and like that. It just seemed to be a part and parcel of it.
Okay.
But I'm just saying nowadays, from your point of view, the second point I want to say is, does it feel like we've slightly dropped a ball somewhere, or dropped the you know, drop the ball somewhere in terms of like where we're at in society, because I don't know if it's the changing of the seasons or something like that, but something seems to be amiss. Like, there doesn't seem to be much coming together except on Facebook and things like that. And maybe I'm waiting for Christmas to come around. But
well, probably,
there doesn't seem to be much camaraderie, because there doesn't seem to be much camaraderie going on, does there?
I love everybody, Robert.
Good on you. Well,
I love it. 9 weeks tomorrow, by the way. 9 weeks tomorrow, it's Christmas Day.
I look forward to it. Have a good day.
10 weeks. Thank you, Robert. 10 weeks tomorrow. It's January the 1st. It's going to be 2026. Two bank holidays to 2026. Gary said, Andy, yesterday Mr. Cannon seemed to be quite flippant in responding to Julie Edge about the conference announcements. He said that it was his job to give people hope. I suggest his job is to lead and deliver an effective, efficient government programme which improves all of our lives. I think Mr. Cannon should be embarrassed, apologetic about the way his administration has been performing. People are disillusioned with the government, says Gary. Costs are rising, services are poorer, and there's no hope of that anything's going to be achieved in the 12 months leading up to the next election. Some of the politicians have already said as such, despite pronouncements made by the Chief Minister, Treasury Minister, Health Minister about controlling health spending. We can't even hope that Manxcare will deliver the services it is legally obliged to do within budget. That's Gary's point of view. Thank you, Gary. Would it be the dogfish the walkers are worried about, says Desmond? We don't quite know, do we? We don't quite know. If you can tell me about the fish, by the way, in the Clipps Reservoir, then by all means do. Again, 65000 to Nobles Hospital should work fine, says this correspondent. It was mentioned yesterday about rogue traders operating on the Isle of Man. I wonder if the government are going to stop non-local, non-time-served people working on government multi-million pound contracts. Is that true? You must give us more detail. I mean, real detail, not just skeet. If you know actual names and companies, then you must say something, because that's going to be against the law, isn't it? Last Thursday evening, I was standing opposite the rear entrance to Marks and Spencer when two large vans pulled up and parked on the pavement behind the store. There was room for people to walk single file on the pavement. About 5 minutes later, a large police van came along and drove past the two illegally parked vans. I thought this could get interesting. As I stood there for another 10 minutes, no sighting of the police, and the vans remained parked on the pavement. Shame police don't actually do what they're paid for. This is Phil in Ongan. The thing was just after 6 o'clock. M&S was buzzing, still open, and the parking controllers couldn't have packed up for the day. I made a visit to the Clipps Reservoir the other day for a spot of fishing, only to find no water, never mind any fish. Have I wasted my money buying a fishing licence? Will there be a refund, says Keith. Did everything happen? And Michael dropped a note in just to say, regarding the MyCard system, which is going to be going, it needs to be extended by 6 months. No alternative has been given as it stands. It relies on online banking, people having bank accounts to obtain cash. People of all ages and disabilities will have to stand outside in all weathers using cash machines, which are generally being phased out. Are they? It's not safe to obtain cash, like pensions and benefits, in outside in queues of people using them. Peel has no banks. How many cash machines are there in Peel now? In the post office, it was safe. People had cash in their hands. They could budget. They could put whatever they had into banks if they wanted. It generated revenue for the post offices. Talking to one postmaster, says Michael, he was thankful. I wrote early in the year, Dr. Allison said the post offices install link machines, but never really happened. Even recently, no solutions. I'm glad the MHK's recognised this. The MyCard scheme should be continued for the 1,088 people who still use it, says Michael. Thank you, Michael. Well, I mean, according to government, it's going. It's going to go, and that's the way that it is. Everybody will have to have a bank account, and they'll presumably sort it out. I mean, they say there are a few weeks left, obviously, to the end of the year. Well, let's face it, nothing's going to get done after 2 weeks in December, is it? Because you're into Christmas. So it really does have to be sorted out in the next, what, 6-7 weeks or so, wouldn't you think? Thank you, Michael, for that. And if you're a MyCard user, if you want to have a word, then by all means do. I haven't used my Manx Mail for 9 months due to the horrendous scams and bad issues. I recently gradually informed people of my Gmail. Now I have an email no longer in use, reply, says Anne. Thanks to... this one is Anne, who just said, again, I've not used my email address as well. Oh, the Douglas Head route was number 25. Thank you, Robert. I knew it was 20-something. But it's incongruous, isn't it, that the huge bus circle, the turning circle, is still at the top of Douglas Head Road and no buses. Not even any tiny buses. Not even once or twice or three times a day. Not even in summer, when you get hundreds of people coming up to Douglas Head, legging it up Douglas Head. Of course, there's only one pavement now because the other pavement is all overgrown. Would be nice to get that back to being a pavement rather than just a jungle. But that's another matter. A bus service for Douglas Head once, twice a day? I mean, it would reduce our carbon footprint, wouldn't it?
Whatever your business, whatever its size, you can always rely on the island's leading fuel and oil supplier to keep you moving. Ellen Vannin Fuels, powering the island and powering industry. Call us on 844-000.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Mannin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Mannin Motors. Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Mannin Motors.
Take a stroll along the prom and call into the new look Café Villa and sample the new menu. There's something for everyone at Café Villa, from hearty breakfasts and pancakes to baked potatoes, a great choice of delicious mains and award-winning ice cream. All made using local produce where possible and supporting local producers. With seating inside and out and a stunning sea view, it's the perfect spot to relax. New look, new menu. That's Café Villa on Douglas Prom. Open 8am to 4pm every day.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week with daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for dropping by. We're open line today. Tomorrow, Dave Quirk will be on. The Energy Transition Advisor will be on Man in Line. And a note in from Harry, who just said, why is there a tunnel being dug by the Comis Hotel, by the golf club? Well, apparently they're digging that. I don't know whether you know that back road's closed. They're digging a big tunnel. There's an underpass adjacent to the golf club entrance. And you'll be able to go underneath there. It's partly because I think the hotel's preparing for its role as the designated hub for golf for the 2029 Ireland Games. The decision by the Isle of Man Golf Union is said to have accelerated the need for the infrastructure development to help operational efficiency, safety and the quality of the course. So that's why it is. Crikey, that's how to get things planned, isn't it? 4 years ahead for that. Well done to the Comis for doing that. Was the fibre interconnector not managed by the government department, ELAN, that since disbanded? I'm sure one of the big aerospace company leased a percentage of it, says 284. I phoned the government, says JK. I phoned the government lab a couple of years ago and asked them about radon, and they told me we didn't have any here, so there was no need to worry. Apparently, they've changed their mind. Well, we're on the map now, aren't we? We've got a radon map. Listening to Keys yesterday, the subject of children was talked about at some length. One of the contributors said she believed children are our future. I'm sure I've heard that line somewhere else before. Yes, it was George Benson and Whitney Houston, the greatest love of all. Thank you, Andy, as well. Yes, it was the number 25 bus service for Douglas Head. Yesterday in Timwell, the DOI minister said active travel for disabled travel on buses will be in a few weeks. Definition means more than one, but not more than three. We'll see, says Eric. We'll see exactly what's going to happen. I'd like to say this is from 168, who tells me that that's not strictly true about Mike Prophet and the fibre to the home. The MEA trialled internet over power lines that they demonstrated at the Villa Marina, but didn't go anywhere. Manx Telecom followed the rest of Europe with delivering broadband services over copper, now fibre. So we'll see. But remember, we're just the customers. If you want to find out about Janara, look to Atmail, of which it is part. Says guys, Atmail that is. Remember tonight the Manx Utilities proposal for the sewage treatment works at Axenfeld Plantation. There's a meeting tonight at the Working Men's Institute, 7 o'clock in Laxey. The local authority wants to see what you have to say. If you're a resident of the area, nip along there, 7 o'clock tonight at the Working Men's Institute. And once they've heard what you have to say, then they'll figure out what they have to say and what their view is on the planning process. The post office telecom infrastructure surely is owned by the Isle of Man, like the railway track beds, says John. Well, is it? If Manx Telecom took on and adopted the old British Telecom infrastructure, does that mean that Manx Telecom own all that? That's it. Alex is on tomorrow on Man in Line. I'll be back on Friday with another open line. Thanks to Chris on the phones. W-I-N-T.